Can you hear me okay? All right. I'm going to be talking today about something that's probably running on every Linux laptop and server as well, which is systemd and dbus. So a little bit of background myself. My name is Leonid. I work at Dropbox on the infrastructure team, and thus I deal a lot with Linux and servers and all the infrastructure. And one thing I keep noticing is that when I go to like servers we maintain, I always see systemd and dbus running there. So they're like systemd, they manage new services. But I was always curious, like, what is dbus? What's it doing? Can I use it for something? And I start looking into that a few months ago and start exploring, can I do something with it? Can I use it for some of my services? Can I use it to programmatically do some tasks? And so this is kind of, this talk is the result of this exploration, really, is to take a look at like what's going on there. So I'll start by just describing the scope of this, and then go briefly through dbus and systemd, and then see how really Linux distributions laid out the configuration for that. It's very shortly about that. And then the main point here is to show how a Go developer can interact with these services and build something out of that. And at the end, it's sort of wrap up with, is it worth it, or like, what is it good for? So I'll be looking at systems programming. So this area, as Wikipedia has defined, is software that provides services for other software. So this is not end applications, not user-facing services. This is more like a back-end infrastructure components. And I'm going to be looking at Go developer point of view. So it's develop, test, debug cycle, is to how to get productive with these tools, with systemd and dbus, not really how to configure systemd itself, how to manage dbus, how to manage containers, etc. And again, this is modern Linux, so think about most stable distribution, Linux distribution. I used Ubuntu 18.04 as an example here, but I'm pretty sure Fedora and other distributions, they have the kind of similar setup, which is standard. So let's get started. What is dbus? So first of all, is a specification. So freedesktop.org is a initiative, is a Linux desktop, defines the set of standards around Linux desktop. So dbus came around 2003, so this is very, very long time ago. So JSON came around this time, so that you can just kind of put things in perspective. And I sort of divide this specification in two parts. One is core protocol, which deals with a type system, wire format, and certain core pieces of the protocol. And the second one is bus, and the message bus abstraction. This is where it's actually used as a message bus, supports naming, well-known buses, matches, routing, and standard interfaces. So we'll be looking into that. And there's also a reference implementation, which is used pretty much everywhere. Libdbus implements the core protocol part, and dbus daemon implements the dbus abstraction. So this is what you get on your Fedora or Ubuntu. There's many alternative implementation of the core protocol. There's sdbus from systemd. There's godbus, which we'll be using today. There are not that many implementations of message buses. There's dbus broker, but we're not going to look into that. So what is systemd? It's also, it came around 2010, 10 years ago, as a CSV init replacement, but expanded much more. So I'm only briefly touching this because there's like so much to go into that. Again, the goal here is to really show how to use Go to interact with systemd. And many mainstream Linux distributions actually have that by default configured, including there's a Linux from scratch, which is interesting. It's basically just a document, and it's even that has systemd version. And also, all the systemd APIs, they provide it through dbus itself. So you can read the code, of systemd to kind of understand what's exactly is there, but it's very powerful. And to start with, we need to first understand the what is the how Linux configures that, how distributions configure systemd and dbus. And this is like we're going to be using today something called Linux session. This is really how Linux distribution configures all the environment. So here you can see the output of systemd cgls, which so systemd partitions your user space into a set of namespaces, and they're nicely grouped into hierarchies. So here, this is Linux session hierarchy. User at 1000 is basically what everyone would get if they just SSH on the basic Linux. This case is Ubuntu, and this is already enabled by default. Highlighted there are the two components. You can see I have systemd manager running already. So this is interesting because systemd can run many systemds on the system. So this is sort of like a delegation. They run a separate user manager for every user on the system. And you can see also dbus daemon runs a separate called session bus, again, under generic user. And this is how it looks like from the process point of view. Like if I look at all the processes, so I'm using Vagrant here and the generic Ubuntu image. I run PS3, which shows me all the processes for user Vagrant. And you can see SSHD, bash, and then the command. But then the highlighted, again, I have a systemd and dbus. So I haven't started that manually. It was already there. So it's there by default. So I don't have to do anything. Also, I don't need a root to do that. So it's kind of, the setup is rootless, sort of. I don't need any extra permissions to do anything. Everything is already set up, configured for me. So from Go point of view, it looks like this. So we're going to be dealing with, we're writing code in Go process there on the left. We're going to be using two libraries, Go dbus dbus, and core OS Go systemd, which is a library on top of Go dbus. It provides a more Go, kind of Go-flavored abstractions on top of dbus. The central component is dbus daemon itself that implements the message bus abstraction, and it uses the reference implementation libdbus. On the right, we have a systemd, which uses a different implementation of dbus library called sdbus. All these three components communicate through a shared Linux domain socket. So it's a standard, it's part of the specification, it's called a session bus, so basically it's a Unix domain socket, it's like a single file on the file system, nothing special about it. Again, I don't have to set it up, it's already there on most of the default distributions. So let's start with dbus. So the thing about is when I start looking at that, there is kind of quite steep learning curve here. Is if you compare that to gRPC, for example, like most recent version, gRPC or even like a REST API. In like REST, you have a simple URL to identify what you want to do, what kind of method you want to call, and gRPC sort of abstracts that all away from you completely. In dbus, it's a bit different. It comes from the ages before web, I would say. So if you heard something called CORBA, and this object-oriented abstractions from the 90s, so this is where it's coming from. The terminology boils down to really like three things. So you have a bus, which is basically, it's a process. So you connect to, we can use dbus daemon, it's a process. So it's kind of like address. It could be Unix socket, it could be TCP, which is not quite used often, but still. Connection is identified by name. You can think about it as a DNS name. The object, and this is kind of the part of the object interface and the member, this is really three things kind of combined. You can think of it as a one thing. So it's basic, tells you what the kind of URL is, which is the object, what type of method you're going to call. And the method has to be a part of some interface called the member here. So object interface and a member, you can think about it as a URL based in a REST kind of JSON RPC or something like this. There are some tools. Again, these tools are available by default on most of the Linux distributions. So you have dbus send. It's a convenient CLI tool. If you want to interact with dbus, you can send a command here. In an example, we can see I'm using session bus. This is, again, like this is a user's private session that's configured everywhere. And I'm calling a method on the default destination, which is org for desktop dbus. The object path is slash, which is kind of root of the hierarchy. And then the method is list names. It shows me what connections available on this bus. So I see dbus, I see systemd, and then I see two private connections, which come from the dbus send itself. There's another tool, buscuddle. It's part of systemd. It's also available by default. It's part of systemd package. It pretty much can do the same as dbus send, but it's more like a terminology is a bit different. So in dbus send, you use session. In dbus cuddle, you use user to kind of... there are two commands, tree, which lets you list all these object hierarchies that are available under for certain service name. There is also introspect that shows you what the actual interface is available. What can you do with that? This is all useful. We're going to be using this with systemd. So let's start with how to use that from Go. So how to use dbus from Go. There's library go dbus bus. It's native Go library. It doesn't depend on libdbus. There's no cgo. It's very kind of simple library in terms of it just does the message serialization, deserialization, and provides some of the wrappers on top of that. So what we have here is highlighted in, you connect to session bus, you create an object, you instantiate connection object. It identifies where you're going to be connecting to. And then you call a method. And then you need to deserialize the result. So serialization in deserialization, it uses reflection a lot. So it's kind of like a bit of a pain point because that thing panicked on me a lot when I tried to, when you try to deserialize something in the wrong format, it's just panic. So you have to be careful with that. It's easy to make it panic. So dbus message format, it's a binary format. It's a kind of interesting one. So you have every type really is prefixed with the ASCII character. So here, they call it signature. So for example, YY, this signature translates as Y means byte, U means uint, A means array, and params means it's a struct. So it's kind of easy to understand, but yeah, it's not what you see in very often these days. How to construct a message in Go? This library has this message type, has a type. If you want to make a method call, you call it type method call. And then it takes a bunch of headers. And the headers really set the destination, the what the method is, what the interface is. And then the body of the message is it looks very similar. So all the messages, they operate on this generic interface. This is, again, like because it's all user reflection, I find it hard to, like, it's very easy to make a mistake and then this thing will panic or you'll get something not that you wanted. But yeah. So briefly about introspection. So when you want to call some method in dbus, you need to know which parameters it's going to take. The way to actually implement that, it uses XML. So it's a standard interface and you have to define this XML format. The format is easy. You have an interface and then you have a method. Then you list your arguments. So you can think about it as a sort of like if you use gRPC, this is like what you define in protobufs. The problem is that it doesn't generate anything out of that. So you still have to kind of code by hand manually all the wrappers itself. So if you want to export an object, for example, this is I want to run the dbus service and it's like a worker, generic worker. I export this object. So first of all, there's not like a request handler. I just export the object, and all the methods, all the public methods, will be available on dbus. So three lines: I export object, I also need to export this XML definition. And then I need to request a name, which is kind of like a DNS name, under which name will be available my object. And this is how it's implemented. So you have to kind of hard code XML bit in your code. And then all the public methods will be exported. You can configure that. But the point here is it's a regular Go method. The only difference is if you return an error, which is quite common in Go, here you have to do different. It has to be a dbus error, so it's encoded properly. There's another concept in dbus called signals. It's implement one-to-many publish-subscribe, so this is where it gets to useful parts, actually. You can implement publish-subscribe quite easily, and it's async, and you have to kind of filter which messages you want to get on the bus. It's possible to get all the messages, but yeah, you have to configure that first. There are some best practices. I found these two nice pages. One is a Chrome OS apparently either used or uses the bus for everything, and they have this nice page where they say it's like avoid every advanced feature of the bus, avoid properties, complex object hierarchies. Consider using protobufs instead of complex messages, so you don't have to deal with that XML definitions. And don't use dbus service activation. This is kind of, I think it's a legacy feature, but you can start a service through dbus. And then there's another article. It's about how to version. Essentially, it's same as gRPC. Once you made it an interface public, you can't change it. You can only extend it, but you can't really change the anything that's already available. So let's go to systemd. So we know a little bit about dbus. So systemd, very powerful. It's basically how the Linux user space looks these days. And to use it, you have to understand dbus. You can, of course, call the sub-process. You can exec. And that's kind of ST. So yeah. So dbus interface is very powerful there. So systemd really, high level, systemd operates on units. It can run jobs that transition these units to a set of states. So units are really stateful. And changing of states, you can set up dbus signals to receive all the signals when your service start up, shut down, something happens to that. There are three commands, really. To start exploring the API, the first one is tree, at least all object hierarchy, introspect, see what's available, what interface is available, and then the last one is actually see which units implement what interfaces. So how do you use that in Go? There is Core OS, I think this is the part of the they were building a container engine on top of systemd, and as part of this, they build this library, Go systemd. It's a wrapper on top of dbus. It has some helpers, but the essence is just it's a thing wrapper. So very simple, how to list all the units currently available in systemd. Connect to the user connection, so you don't have to use root for that. So. And then just call list units, and it's super, super easy. How to create a transient unit. And this is where it's actually like more like exploration area. I'm trying to see, can I use systemd to simplify some of the infrastructure related, like very low level, system level automation I'm working on. And the one nice thing is systemd has this concept of transient unit. It's a unit created dynamically. It's not persisted on disk. And you can run it through CLI. Systemd provides a CLI called systemd run dash dash user. And you can run like an env command in a transit unit, and then you can see all the output of that. So I have an example. This is how to do that in Go. Very easy. You connect to the bus. then you have to create a job. It's basically, you start a transit unit and it takes a list of properties, and this is what you want to run under this unit. This could be any command or it could be any service, for example, if you want to run a Go playground or something like that. So you can start that, and then you have to wait on the channel to when the job is completed. So it means that the task or the service is activated. So this is really wraps the talk, and I have like pros and cons. You can read through that, but yeah, this is the end. Yeah, it's kind of it's very stable, but like the D-bus part is really it has a lot of legacy stuff, and it has a steep learning curve as well. Yeah, this is it.